This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White. What does two masters mean? And what does the word mammon signify? Please stay tuned. And Dr. Wyatt relates, two masters?
Thank you, Dennis. As our Lord says, no one does well serving two masters. Sharon reads further in the sixth chapter. And we are challenged by our Lord to put our Lord and Savior first above all else.
No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to your span of life? And why are you anxious about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?
Thank you very much, Sharon. My wife has just read passages recognized by most of us, for they are often quoted and referred to even by those in the world. So I hope I have something to say that may bring renewed interest in such well-known verses, or more, a fresh approach. Jesus, despite his depiction in most church art, was never placid, colorless, or uninteresting, just the opposite. Because he was confident, assured, and opinionated, he was therefore polarizing. Being polarizing is often not a bad thing, especially if you stand for truth against spin and deceit, values and virtue against the gangs who compromise values and masquerade it as virtue. We require a polarizing God, or there is no standards, no truth. We require a Savior who is more than a magnified image of ourselves, or else, as Jesus relates earlier, if your eye is sound, your whole body will be full of light. But if your light is not sound, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? We, all of us, stand on the cusp of a great precipice. Treasures on earth or treasures in heaven? Piety for display or a humble heart before God? It comes to a choice, one of sincerity and faith or one of deceit and self-deception. No one can be a slave or servant to two masters, so the verse goes. The Greek allows for either slave or servant, but the context lends itself more to the meaning of slave, belonging wholly to another. Underlying this is Jesus's perception that in fact no one is his own master, that it is our very nature. Our heart will gravitate or embrace one thing, one person, or one passion over all the others. The only question is just who or what it will be. For in truth, the human condition, Our human propensity is to endeavor to balance our desires between many masters, all of which are clamoring for our time, attention, and desires. Even the most courageous and honest Christian will try to juggle spouse, family, work, and his or her faith. But clearly here our Lord is asking for something else, something different. One cannot be a slave that is totally owned, totally devoted to all such masters. One will love or hold one above the others. And we all know this to be true if we are honest. One will come to be what he prefers, or what in the moment of clarity he wishes to devote himself to. And all of this is an object lesson. No judgment as to the correctness of such devotion, only that we are to admit it to ourselves. It is mere self-delusion to believe one can be utterly devoted to more than one master, that we really would love and serve more than one. Jesus will then speak to what is so self-evident. You cannot be a slave to God and mammon. He is specific here and draws up the conundrum between God and mammon. We must note that Matthew leaves intact the Aramaic word mammon, and it is important that he did not endeavor to translate this word into Greek, but leaves the original Aramaic word spoken by our Lord. Just what is it that contrasts so sharply with serving God? Usually the word is rendered as wealth, materialism, or even the world and its enticements. It is not the name of an idol or demon, as some have inferred, but designates something of personal value. Jesus has actually used a word that becomes personal for each of us, as though it were something, anything that serves as a kind of God, lowercase g, which serves as the opposite of the one true God. It is whatever for you serves as that one great passion, that temptation that divides your life, your interests, yes, your love. It is not that everything one might be interested in or love is contradictory or divides or dilutes one's love of God, but it can and often does. What Jesus has called us to is to serve him, as he will conclude these verses with the words, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Not just first or even foremost, and then all the other things you can seek, but he is to be sought first and only. And when that is the case, it is then he can and will provide what we need. Not what we might at first think we need. That is our self-centeredness, our self-deception creeping in. Seek his righteousness, then we trust him. Seek his kingdom, then what comes enables us to serve him even more completely. Love him, and from that will follow the expansiveness that will embrace all that God would provide. It is a delicate line, but a necessary one. I can best illustrate this personally. As a young man, my athletic ability provided for my college education, which required my focus and attention. But it never divided me from my love of God. Actually, athletics opened many doors, including graduate school, which advanced my training, then the Olympic trials, where I was to meet my future wife. It was all a fine, beautiful tapestry, where God used something I was good at and enjoyed for his purposes. Because I always desired to serve him, he used what he would in me to bring me to this place and to this time. There is, of course, so much more. Mentors along the way, churches we have served as husband and wife, our two boys and now their lovely wives, and their children. All because of seeking his will and purpose, not first, but only. And he has always provided what we have needed. I said needed, not what we might have wished, for it is his plan and purposes, not mine. I might have in my own heart wished for something else, a profession with a larger income, a larger home, a new car, but in his purposes, I do, believe me, have all I need and much more. Understand, we are living stones being built unto a temple, the very abode of the living God. We are not bricks or even cut stones, all made to be identical, exactly the same. We are living stones. We are all different with different needs, different attitudes and talents, and all being used for different purposes unto His eternal kingdom, His temple. It takes care to build such a structure, and He is the ultimate master builder. Have you ever watched a true craftsman build a stone wall or stone pathway without using mortar? How each stone is examined as he builds the wall, carefully placing the correct stone, the one that fits the spot perfectly as the wall goes up. A good craftsman will build a wall or walk that will last centuries. Such is God with us. We are His workmanship. It is why Paul will declare that some vessels were created for various uses, and that we are part of the body of Christ. We serve a purpose in God's great design. We cannot say to the eye or the foot that we have no need of such. Each one is of pertinent value. As my wife was fond of saying, even the little finger is important. Just slam it in a door and you'll find out just how important. This image is ancient and often glossed over. It is why in ancient times the altars unto the Lord God Yahweh were made of stone. Note, it was not made out of bricks or man-shaped stones held together with mortar, as the pagans did. It is an altar made up of what God has wrought. And as such, it is always what God will do. He does not use what man would make unto himself, what man has wrought of his own hands, but He uses us unto what He will make of each of our lives. We do not bring to Him anything but what He has made of us. Interestingly, mortar in the Hebrew language is as well the word for heaping up, like a large amount of grain. In the Hebrew, comer, and it has been used by the rabbis to mean the accumulation of material things. So our mammon, what would and could divide us, what we accumulate, what distracts, what we might love outside of Him, is of no use in His building. He is not building anything out of what we desire of this world, what may be important to our worldly nature. He is building it out of us. Only there is no mortar, no mammon. And it is what His love in and through us has made of us. What the love of a good woman He has provided, the love of children He has also provided, a service, a calling that He has as well provided. If He knocks an edge off, you will know it is so you will fit, so you will fulfill your purpose. When tough times come, when trials arise, understand it is to make you stronger, more resilient. Perhaps you are meant to hold up other stones, for you are at least meant to last eternally. When it hurts, when things don't seem to go well, when it's crashing in upon you, this too God will use in you. It is as a living stone God then might place you exactly where you can touch others, to be used of Him for what He has intended for you since the foundations of the world. It is for this reason, therefore, Jesus says, stop worrying about your life, what you shall eat or drink, or what you shall wear. Clearly, our life is a lot more than the food we eat or the clothes we wear, for we are part of God's great cosmic design, something He has been planning since before creation. Jesus will use examples from creation. The small, so very common sparrow, they cannot sow, reap, or store up anything. They must live for each moment, trusting that they will find nourishment and shelter. Yet they flourish, because our Heavenly Father has chosen that they will. And are we not far more important to God's purpose than the sparrow? Look at the lilies of the field, meaning the simple wild flowers out on the hillsides. They cannot boil or spin. They have no way of adorning themselves. Yet Jesus says even Solomon, the richest, most regal of kings, was not near as gloriously adorned as one of the simplest of the wild flowers. Yet if these flowers are so lavishly adorned, which fade so quickly and are gone, how much longer will we reside in him. We fret and worry over so many things. We have divided ourselves into little pieces, trying to meet this end and that deadline, or to do all the little things that need to be done. But the real issue, the important things, think. We cannot add a second to our life on this earth, not one moment. We are so limited, and the worry will gain one nothing. The anxiety, the fears, the fretting are, in his words, what the pagans do. We are better than that. We have a sense of who we are. The pagans, the atheists, live in unbelief, uncertainty, and insecurity. But you, why worry at all about food, drink, clothing, or whatever? Your Father knows exactly what you need, that you indeed need food, drink, and raiment. But seek him. Put your trust in him. Show some faith, belief in him, and you will find, as you love him, serve him. Even when others destroy great possibilities and the means to greater ministry, he opens up even greater ones. When the door closes, others open. He has provided and enabled us all as living stones built up together by none other than our God. To seek him is to recognize that all else is from him. So why worry? There is enough in life that is a burden. There is enough pain and sorrow. Don't add to it. Trust him for what counts. He is the source for all of it. Look not to any other. O Lord, help us to learn to truly trust and abide in you for all we need. But more importantly, let us seek you and your kingdom and not be divided by anything, but be focused totally in our love for you and your purposes in our life, for it is all for your glory. Amen.
Each of us is faced with the challenge to serve one master. But just who or what will it be? Do we serve the kingdom of God first or become diverted? To highlight what this kingdom is, Dr. Wyatt is offering to you, without charge, his study, He Taught with Parables. Here will be found the very heart of our Lord's teaching. So do write to us this week and ask for your free copy of He Taught with Parables. Well, dear listeners, you are such a blessing to us and to so many. Think of all the people and the missions who have benefited by your monetary help. We desire so much to fulfill God's commission to get His word to as many as possible. And how delighted we are to have you in this ministry with us. Your love offerings are what helps make all of this possible. You who give are blessed, as well as those who receive. And by doing your part, together, we can change the world. The address is Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. There is also our website, where you can make secure contributions at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society, Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, Postal Code V6H4N1. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. I say it's a pleasure that you still remain a part of this ministry and that others are being blessed. This from a dear friend in the Boston area that has seen his tumor shrinking and so appreciates our letters and especially the newsletter. And also Helen, whose sister in Texas has experienced a surprising and fast recovery from her inability to walk. God is so good, and we want to hear from you, our friends. And if you need prayer, please do write. Dennis will provide our addresses at the close of the broadcast. But now the choir performs Robert York's wonderful choir expression on the Sermon on the Mount. Do enjoy. And until next week, may our Lord make his presence known to you in a special way.
Come unto me.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries, a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. We also encourage you to write with any questions or inquiries. And always, CDs of our program are available if you will but write and ask. And this week, Dr. Wyatt is offering his fascinating study on Jesus that he taught in parables. Now, this is a brief and readable look at the parables of our Lord and how they unveil for us just what is the life in Christ. You will enjoy He Taught with Parables, and it can be yours at no charge. Our addresses once more are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6H4N1. Or you may contact the ministry on the internet at thomasrwyatt.org or on Facebook/Wings of Healing Radio. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time, and remember what God has promised to those who love Him.